Psalms chapter 84, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and here's the thought today, the Lord's special place. The Lord's special place. Verse number 1 of Psalms chapter 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, thank you today for this portion of Scripture and for this special place that the psalmist tells us about. Lord, we want to be people that trust in you. We want to be people that take your word and believe you mean what you say and you say what you mean. And Lord, that it's doable if you've told us to do it. We want to be a people that are encouraged by the preaching of the word of God and by the fellowship that we have. And so, Father, I ask you today to meet with us in a special way. Meet needs in the lives of people who have needs that need met. And then, Lord, maybe there's some that don't even know they have a need. And yet, Lord, you want to share a need with them. And so I pray that we'd all listen today with hearts that are ready to hear, ready to receive, ready to do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord has always had a special place, a place where He desires to meet with His people, a place where He wants to fellowship with His people, to teach them and to train them and to discuss His plans with them and also His expectations of them. And He's always had a place. And today He still has a place. Consider these special places that people have been impressed by God. I think of Adam when God met with him in the garden. You know, when Adam had sinned and the Lord says that God came in the garden and called for him, Adam, Adam. The Bible says before that that God came in the cool of the evening, and there is an indication that they had this kind of a set appointment where in the cool of the evening they would just meet in a certain place. Of course, when sin came in, Adam began to realize that things weren't right, and he didn't meet the Lord that day at that special place. And anytime God's people, listen to me today, anytime God's people don't meet God in a special place that He has appointed, at a time when He has appointed it, now I know there's things that prevent us from doing that. But you know, if I've learned anything about the Lord in the time I've served Him, it's that He's consistent. And the Lord's not going to lead us to do one difficult thing, and we achieve that, and then lead us to do another difficult thing, and we fail by that. It's not His fault if we do. And so God wants us to meet Him in that special place. Abraham met the Lord in a special place on a hill in Moriah. And God and him did business in that special place. Jacob met the Lord in a special place. And he prayed all night, and God touched his thigh, and the sinew, the Bible says, shrank, and Jacob limped the rest of his life. But he was a man of God the rest of his life. And God changed his name from Jacob to Israel because God says, because you've been at this special place and you've met with me in this special place, as a prince, thou now hast power with God and with man. Moses met at a special place. He didn't even realize how special it was at first. He saw this bush burning, and he approached the bush to see how it burned and wasn't consumed. And then he heard a voice from heaven say, take thy shoes from off thy feet. The ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. And boy, right away off came the shoes. And Moses never got over meeting God in that special, special place. Joseph met God in a special place on several different occasions. One of them was when God told him that his brothers were one day going to worship before him, bow down before him, and be at his beck and call. Of course, him telling people what God told him in that special place caused him a lot of heartache. But that didn't keep the promise of that special place from being true. It came to pass. David was in a special place, out laboring with his daddy's sheep, when Samuel says, call that youngin' in here. We've got business to do. And David was anointed for the first of three times to become the king of Israel. Someone says, well, Brother Sutton, everyone that you've named there is a man. What about us ladies? Well, there are some ladies that met God in special places. Sarah met God in a special place. She was in a tent. She really, I don't think, even really realized that God was out there speaking to her husband, and she overheard God say that your wife at the expected time is going to have a child. And she laughed. She laughed. But she did have a child. She never got over the fact that at 90 years old, she had a child. And then Hannah was at a special place. She went and met with Eli, you remember, and she was praying that God would give her a son. And God spoke to her heart, convinced her that she was going to have a boy, and she gave birth to Samuel. What a special message in a special place. Both Mary and Elizabeth had special messages from God in special places. Of course, Elizabeth promised that her son was going to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt call his name John. And Jesus was promised to Mary, and she was promised that he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, God's always had a special place. He's always had a special place. And then, of course, he always had a special place for his people collectively in the garden. Think about this. Two different times in the history of the human race, which is something just over 6,000 years, if my calendar's right, in the history of the human race, there's been two times when God had the ear of the entire human race. In the garden, when he spoke to Adam and Eve, and when he spoke to to Noah when he got off the ark. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives, the eight of them, were the entire human race. And God spoke to every one of them at one time. Special place for special people. And then the tabernacle and the temple. God always met with his people in the tabernacle and the temple. We were visiting with some folk yesterday, Miss Judy and I, and they talked about how God led them with the fire at night and the pillar of cloud in the daytime. And God would use that when he was going to speak to them. They'd know to assemble themselves in this special place because God was going to speak something special to them. God's always had a place. Well, today, that place is a New Testament church. God wants to meet with his people in a New Testament church. Now listen to me very good this morning. Anytime you miss a special place meeting with the Lord at a time that he's indicated is important, you're the loser. We don't change God by our faults. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we sure do cheat ourselves. We cheat ourselves. I think of the differences that I believe that learning to be faithful to that special place would make in the lives of some people. And sometimes it makes me angry. Sometimes it breaks my heart, makes me weep. Sometimes I just shake my head in unbelief and say, why can't they see that God has this special place or special people where He wants to give a special message? Well, I believe God's people ought to be as anxious to meet with Him as He is to meet with us. He doesn't gain anything by us meeting with Him, but we sure do, and we ought to be anxious about that. In this portion of Scripture, I find that the place that the psalmist is writing about here, it was a place of excitement. Notice the Bible says, how amenable. Now that word amenable means worth loving. This special place where God wants to meet with His people is worth loving. Oh, so many people today love so many things that aren't worth loving. They worship. They love people that have attitudes that just almost defy the imagination, and yet they'll give themselves and give themselves and give themselves. And incidentally, that's the definition of love: giving to meet the need of another. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave because we had a need. The Bible says that Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it because we have needs. And in that special place, it ought to be... Listen, the New Testament church, Bethel Baptist Church, is worth loving. It's worth loving. It's worth the cost of loving it. And you never love without having a cost attached to it. Ask a mother who cares for a sick child. There's a cost involved. Ask your daddy who tries to keep a dinner on the table and clothes in the closet and shoes on the feet and gas in the tank and utility bills paid. There's a cost. But real love is always worth any legitimate cost. And the Bible says that this place was a place of excitement. We ought to love the New Testament church. And there's some ways that we can prove that we do love it. There's some ways that we can love Bethel Baptist Church. Number one, by our presence. By our presence. You know, when you get in your car, and it doesn't matter if it's an old beat-up banger, it doesn't matter if it's a brand-new Mercedes or whatever, Rolls-Royce, it wouldn't matter if it was a Ferrari. But when you, on a regular basis, because you know there's a set time that you're supposed to be at a certain place for a special message, and your neighbor sees you backing out of the driveway or pulling forward out of the driveway, whichever you do, and he knows you're going somewhere on a regular basis, it says something to them. That's important to that person. That's important. He's put that high on the priority list. Going out when it's raining so hard the umbrella almost washes away. Going out when the summer heat says any fool would get in a hot car today. Going out when you have to shovel the snow in order to get to the car. And then if you're not fortunate enough to have a garage, then you have to sweep off the car and everything. And people see that and they say, his presence proves something is important to him. And then, by being pleasant, we can be add to the excitement of Bethel Baptist Church. The Bible says in Psalms 122 and verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad on Sunday mornings when the alarm goes off probably an hour or 2 hours later than it does any time in the rest of the week? And yet you begrudge God because you're supposed to get up and go to church. Amen. And of course, COVID has given people a lot of excuses. I told a doctor the other day, listen, the other day I went to a doctor, I had an 8:30 appointment. I was supposed to get there 15 minutes early. I got there at 8:15. Now, in my math, 15 minutes after 8 is 15 minutes earlier than 8:30. I got there, I got a hold of the handle, and it was closed. It was locked up. And they're going... Nurses in there, about 15 of them in there going. And you know what I did? Finally, one of them came open the door. I said, I'm supposed to be here at 8:30. She said, we don't open until 8:30. I said, but I was told to be here at 15 minutes early. And so I said, sorry, can't come in, click. So I sit out there thinking about where I could find me a different doctor. Couldn't come up with anything I liked, so I waited. When the doctor finally came in, he said, well, let's do this and this. I said, no, time out. We're going to have a talk about something. I said, what's a scatterbrained idea of telling me to be here 15 minutes before the doors open? What's the idea with that? He said, well, you know, this COVID. And I said, hold it, doc, time out. COVID must be the strongest thing that's ever hit the entire universe anywhere. He said, what do you figure? I said, because it gets blamed for everything. Poor postal service, poor service at the restaurant, poor service at the grocery store, poor service, poor service, poor service. I said, it must be a strong, tough thing. He said, well, I see what you're meaning. He didn't give me my appointment for nothing, but he did listen. And he did say he agreed. I don't know if he had to go out and have a powwow with these nurses when it was over or not. But listen, we need to understand that we're supposed to be in a certain place at a certain time. And when we're there, it says something to people. And then, of course, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad when it's time to go to church? When a preacher announces we're going to have a missions conference, when the preacher announces we're going to have a revival, when the preacher announces we're going to have a Bible conference, does that thrill you, or do you say, oh boy, here we go again? You say, well, how would you know somebody to think that? Because I've thought those things. Shame on me, amen. Amen. So we can be present, we can be pleasant, and then there's some reasons today that for excitement. Number one, some of the best friends that I have on planet Earth are in this church and any other church that I would attend. Some of the very best friends I have. Some people I know that have my back. Some people I know would take care of me. Some people I know love me and love mine. We have people in Bethel Baptist Church who love family members of mine they've never met. They love them. You say, how do you know they love them? Because they pray for them. They ask about them. They're committed to them. Friends. It's exciting to come to the house of God because of friends. And then fellowship. You know, somebody said that the definition of fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. Too often, those two fellows are facing opposite directions. One of them is paddling this way, one of them is paddling that way. But when you get in a New Testament Baptist church situation, they're both facing the same way, and they both got their oars in the water at the same time, and maybe they're even in some type of a unison song or regiment of some sort, and they're gliding across the water. It's a beautiful thing. And listen, when you come to the house of God, one of the things you'll learn is that there's other people that are going through the same trouble that you're going through. Amen. And they're making it. They come in with a smile. They come in, they sit down, and they aren't just all blah and just a glob sitting on the pew, but they're coming in expecting God to bless, expecting God to excite things, expecting the preacher to preach the Word of God, expecting God to honor His Word, expecting the songs to speak to the heart. They come in expectant, and you come in and you meet them and you say, listen, they have something that I need, and maybe it's just some excitement. When you get out of bed in the morning, you ought to say, good morning, Lord. As you go through your morning routine, you ought to say several times, good morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for bringing me from where I was. Thank you for bringing me to where I am. Thank you that you're taking me further than I've come before. Ought to get your heart soaked up with thanking God and praising God. As you go out of the house, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to go to the house of God. Oh, God, thank you that I know you're going to speak to my heart today. Thank you that a need is going to be met in my life today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As we do that, our hearts become excited about the things of God. And then, not only friends and fellowship, but the fixings. And by the fixings, I mean how God repairs our heart at the house of God, like He won't do it anywhere else. There's times when I believe that in heaven, God tells angels in glory, I could fix that in a New York minute. And they've asked me to fix it 1,000 times. But if they're not going to be faithful in the little things, why should I give them these big things they're asking for? Amen. And listen, when you come to the house of God, It's not just the preaching that's the fixing. It's the fellowship. It's the greetings. It's the smiles. Even when you can't see the smile on the face, you can see it in the eyes above the mask. What they say and how they say it, and whether they come stumbling in late and looking for a place to sit down and wondering, asking all the questions they should have asked 15 minutes earlier. God help us to understand, going to the house of God ought to be an exciting thing because of the fixings, the repair work that the Lord will do in my life and my heart at the house of God. Some of you all have been a blessing to me just in little things you said that I never would have heard anywhere but in the house of God. And God does a work. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Notice verse number 10, the first part of it. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Here the Psalms says that it's a place of eagerness. Eagerness. You know, 1,000 days, that's something close to 3 years. Well, I guess something over 2.5 years. And the Psalms, it says that a day in that special place is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. We ought to believe that. We ought to believe that. And to miss the house of God, my mother-in-law, if everyone had mother-in-laws like I had one adopted mother-in-law and two for real mother-in-laws. But my first mother-in-law, if ever mother-in-law was like her, there'd be no mother-in-law jokes. My mother-in-law was faithful to the house of God. Once she dedicated her life, she was faithful to the house of God. Now I've seen her stay in bed almost all day Saturday because of her health. She died of a heart attack. She had all kinds of health problems, diabetes real bad, was blind several times because of diabetes and all kinds of health problems. Stay in bed all day on Saturday. And she'd get up, she'd come to Sunday school, she'd come to church, she'd go home, and Dad would say, "Mom, don't you think you better stay home tonight?" And she said, no, I can't stay home. My pastor needs me to be there." And she went there eagerly, to the house of God. Notice, the Psalms, earlier, the Psalms have said this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 3, David gives a list of all the things that he's provided so that his son can build the temple. And so he says, I gave the gold, I gave the silver, I gave the steel, the iron, I gave all offerings of all those things. He said, I gave the stones and polished stones and this and that. He gave all those things. And then he says, "Moreover, listen, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper goods of silver and gold, or gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." The Psalms just says, I'm just so eager to see this done. I'm so eager to see this go on that I gave everything that God gave me as a king. And now he said, I've given him my own stuff above that because I'm just excited and anxious for the work of God to go on. In Psalms 26 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth." I have loved it, David said, and I still do. Psalms 27 and verse number 4 said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple." You see, there's things that God's just not going to show you. There's things you'll never understand about the beauty of the Lord until you're assembling yourself together like God wants us to, and you're in the place that God wants you to be. You'll never see the richness of God that He wants you to see, and you'll never have the richness of God that He wants to give you in the way of blessings. You'll never have your prayers answered like God wants to answer them as long as you're cheating yourself. I think of a man that got saved in our church when I was pastoring in Colorado Springs. It was when we had that old rattle trap. It was a mess, that building we were meeting in. But we had it. It was ours, and we were fixing it up and doing the best we could with it. And And Brother Howard Harold, now that's quite a name pair, isn't it? His mama must have had a sense of humor. Brother Howard Harold. Brother Harold Howard. Brother Harold Howard. Yeah, I get him reversed that. But he came, he was coming with a lady. She had taken him to every church in town just about, and she was one of these, you know, that came in the first time you said something that she didn't like, out the door she went, and she'd tell everybody in the town that that church is wicked, it's no good, it's a ruined thing. But he came with her. And one day, he was an older man, and his nickname was Tiny. Give you a little bit about his character. He was the treasurer for the Sons of Silence motorcycle gang. Now that's just probably even par with Hell's Angels. It's not a bunch of kindergarten kids on motor scooters. These are some rough guys. His name was Tiny, and he's the one who took care of all their money. And one day I looked over as we gave the invitation, and here came Brother Howard down the aisle. Came over and he stood at the altar, and I went down and asked him, "Mr. Howard, why have you come for?" He said, "I've been listening to you talk about being saved, and I want to do that. You just made it so plain. I want to get saved." And he got saved. It wasn't very long, maybe a couple weeks after that, a couple months maybe, I'm not sure how long, but the woman that had been bringing him decided that she wanted a church that wasn't quite so narrow. She wanted one that would excuse a little bit of this and excuse a little bit of that. Of course, she didn't want you to go to town on this and that, but you could excuse a little bit, especially if it's me doing it. That was her attitude. She got upset about something. People do that sometimes. And she told Brother Howard, she said, "We're going to leave." He said, "Y'all go wherever you want to go. I'm going to the place where God spoke to my heart. I'm going to the place where I got saved." And he came, and he came, and he came. When we changed buildings, he came, and he came, and he came. And he came until he passed away. He was faithful to the house of God. What a joy. Listen, it got exciting just to go and see if Brother Howard was going to miss. He didn't miss. Not Sunday morning, not Sunday night, not Wednesday night. 18 inches of snow, he'd be there. See, we were on motorcycles and worse stuff than this. He was just he just loved the Lord Jesus, loved the house of God, loved the man of God, just loved the people of God. He said, "I'm going to be there." A name that some of you probably know a little bit better is Brother Charma. If you look on the back of that high back chair on the left-hand side as you go out, there's a plaque on there in recognition of him. Brother Charma drove a bus for a long time. He said, talking to me, he said, "Pastor Sutton, can you imagine a bus with 60 screaming kids on it?" I said, "I've seen that." He said, "It sure is good when it's over." Well, when he couldn't drive a bus anymore, I don't know all the things that he did between driving a bus and here, but when I came, he was standing at the back of the church with a handful of menus, a handful of bulletins, and he was handing those out to everyone that came in, giving them a smile, telling them he's glad that they're there, talking to them about their aches and pains and one thing or another. And he was just faithful. And he was faithful. Oh, listen, he had went through some procedures that would be embarrassing to tell you about the procedures he had to go through. He said, as soon as I can, I'll be back, preacher. He'd miss maybe a week or 2 weeks, then he'd be back. Standing back there with a handful of bulletins because this is the place God wanted him to be. He wasn't there because he's being paid. He wasn't there because he's being bribed. He was there because God had spoke to his heart and he knew God wanted him to be there. So it was a place of eagerness. And then thirdly, it was a place of earnestness. Verse number 3 and 4. He says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." Too many people
have taken the thought, taken the attitude about church services, oh, well, I can just kind of take it or leave it. No biggie, I just kind of take it or leave it. You ought to be serious about it. God is. God is. There's two birds mentioned here. I guess you could say this meeting place was for the birds. God says that. One of those birds is a sparrow. A sparrow is a worthless, unwanted bird. I saw a video one time somewhere in some oriental country where the sparrows had come in to the place that you couldn't even go outside. I mean, they were just, it was like dust everywhere, like mosquitoes coming around. And so the government ordered the people to close up their houses, go out, and just keep the sparrows flying. They had people on roofs. They had people everywhere flying. Get out of here. Fly, baby. And those birds would become totally exhausted. And then people on the ground would come along with a gunny sack. That's a burlap bag for city folks. A gunny sack. And they'd pitch those dead birds, those exhausted birds, they'd pitch them into gunny sacks and throw a gunny sack full over their shoulder and take it and tie it off and put it on a wagon to take it somewhere. Sparrows are a worthless, invading, nuisance thing. They brought them here to America to kill some bug. Maybe it was something to do with cotton. And they brought them here. But boy, they have multiplied. You get downtown, and the only thing worse than sparrows are pigeons. And the only thing worse than pigeons are geese. And the only difference is the size of the excrement that they leave behind. They're nuisances. They're worthless. You know, Jesus talked about the sparrow, and he said that two sparrows could be bought for a farthing. As best I could discern, a farthing is about a quarter of a cent. That's not much. One quarter of 1 cent would buy you a sparrow, or two sparrows. And five sparrows could be bought for two farthings. That means that fifth sparrow was just thrown in. He was really worthless. And yet God said, that sparrow is welcome in the house of God. Oh, how many times I've seen worthless people by the public's and by society's standard, worthless, not good for anything, come to the house of God. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord and find a home. Find a people that loved them, a people that cared for them, a people that tell them the truth. Even when it hurt their feelings, they'd tell them the truth with love and speak the truth to them. Oh, it's a place of eagerness. And then the next one was the swallow. The swallow. You know, they talk about the swallows in Capistrano, I believe it is, where they migrate every year back and forth. And even though it's put Capistrano on the map and people ooh and aah and everything about it, the people in Capistrano are still bothered by all the sparrows, or not the sparrows, by all the swallows that come back. They're a wandering bird. I've seen people that just wandered from place to place. That's what Brother Howard was. He was just a wanderer. Go to this church with this woman for a while, and then he'd go over here for another while, and someone would say, I thought you were going to church over there. He says, yeah, but she got upset about something. I don't know what it was, but we're not going there anymore. And just wandered around. But the Bible says that the swallow found a nest, a place to pull up. Just say, No, this is good enough. This is not just good enough. This is the place God wants me to be. And they pulled up and found a home, found a nest. Both of them found a place of safety and a place of shelter. So it ought to be at Bethel Baptist Church. When people come in, they know they found a place of safety, a place of shelter, a place where they can be befriended and have friends and bring their friends. Such a place. You know, it's a place for raising your young. And that's what the Bible says here in Psalms 84. It says, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord God of hosts. You know, the house of God's a good place to raise your kids. It's a good place to raise your kids. Psalms 92 and verse number 13, the Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Oh, listen, there's no better place. So I said, well, not everybody that's raised in church comes out okay. No, but a bigger percentage of them do that don't, if they're raised right. You can't raise a child anywhere wrong and expect them to turn out 100% right. But they sure have a better chance if mom and dad will get involved in the things of God and work and labor. So I said, well, it's too late for me. My kids are already gone. Well, if you see God speaking to your heart about this and you're saying, oh, I wish I would have, then go to that child and say, listen, dad, mom, made a mistake. We made a mistake. Forgive us, please. Forgive us. Take an example from us now. And listen, be saved if you need to be saved. And be dedicated if you are saved. It's a place to raise your kids. It's a place to raise your young'uns. And then it's a place of engagement. A place of engagement. The Bible testifies in verse number 10 again. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than a house than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Well, I says, well, there's nothing I can do at church. Well, Brother Charma passed out bulletins. Other people decorate rooms. We have people that clean and do a very good job at that, and we're not planning on changing that, but I imagine probably there's times when they say, well, I should wish someone else to do this part of the job. I don't care about this part of the job so much. There's something you can do. I promise you, there's something you can do. God hasn't left you here because you're pretty, you're beautiful, you're handsome, you're strong, you're elegant. God hasn't left you here for that reason. God's left you here to serve. You say, do you have a chapter and a verse? Oh, yes, I do. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we hardly ever go over into the next verse. The next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God saves us. God wants us to walk in the truth. Well, here's another point. When we're saved, we're given a gift. God has a gift. So when you got saved, God gave you a gift. And in using that gift to serve the Lord, there's satisfaction for you and the Lord both. There's wonderment. There's excitement. There's a doing. There's things being done when we're using the gift that God has given us. So what God does, God saves us. Now, everybody has the gift of the Holy Spirit if you're saved. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. So when you're saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit of God, period. And that's eternal, that's forever, that's everlasting, that's shall never perish, that's a done deal. But then he wants to give you another gift. And that gift is for service in a New Testament Baptist church. And so what he does is he saves you, he gives you a gift, and then if you're listening, he'll send you to a New Testament Baptist church and want you to plug in there. Somebody says, well, what do I do if there isn't an independent Baptist church around? Then if God has led you there, he led you there to start one. He didn't leave you there to be a fish out of water. He didn't do that. He led you there to start one, to exercise the gift that we've been given to serve the Lord. Now, you have gifts that I don't have. You have abilities that I don't have. Say, preacher, are you really admitting that? Well, yes, I am. It was hard for me for a long time, but I am. You can do things I can't do. Amen. Piano, violin, cello. You can do things I can't do. But together, If everyone's doing what God wants them to do, it's called church. It's called laboring together. It's called doing what God wants done in this place. There's things that you can do that I can't do. And now, are the gifts that God has given, are they being used in the place that God wants them to be used? There's a question. Are they being used like God wants them to be used? Oh, this place, this special place. The psalmist just talks overflowing about this special place. What did you learn in this special place? Oh, I learned that blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. The psalmist says, I learned in the house of God, I learned in your tabernacles, O God, that a man is blessed if he just understand that his strength isn't in himself, but it's in you. He said, I wouldn't have learned that outside somewhere else. I learned that here in the tabernacle. Oh, there's things we learn. And of course, there's a little, a little known procedure to getting the most out of meeting in the Lord's place. Let me share this verse with you. And then we'll have our invitation and go to the house. I promise. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19 says this. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth. Now, when you say treasures, people think about money and say, there he goes again. He's a Baptist. He's talking about money. We don't talk a lot about money around here. We thank God for a lot of money around here because people have been faithful. We thank God for offerings. We thank God for sacrifices. We thank God for gifts that God gives God receives through our church. We thank God for those things. But notice what he says. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Now that doesn't sound like money. And where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen to this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, someone's saying today, my heart's just not there. Your treasures aren't. Some men's treasures are on the golf course. Some men's treasures are in a bass boat. Some men's treasures are in their hunting rifle. Some men's treasure are in their quarter horse. Some men's treasure are in the house, in the home, in their dog, in their family. There's nothing wrong with having those things, but when those things take you away from the special place that God wants you, they're wrong. They're wrong. God has a special place. Always has, always will have a special place to meet with His people. But you know, you can go to the special place every time the doors are open and never get to heaven if you don't do business with the one who wants to meet you at the special place. You see, Jesus died for sinners like you and I, like you and me, so we could be saved and go to a place called heaven. We can labor, we can do whatever we want to do in any place we want to do it. But if we don't have Jesus Christ in our heart and our life, we're going to hell when we die. God doesn't want that. The message of the special place is Jesus saves and He loves you so much.